Paul had left Philippi. He came to Troas. It was the first day of the week, so it was a Sunday. The disciples came together to break bread. Tells me they were Baptists. They were having an eating meeting. Paul was preaching unto them. He was going to leave the next day. He was going to leave on Monday. And so in his sermon, he was trying to get everything in that he needed to get in to tell this group of believers before he left the next morning. And the Bible says he continued his sermon until midnight. And you think you have it rough. But there were many lights. The Bible says many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And some speculate because there were many lights and they were probably oil lamps and they gave off fumes that it was the cause of what happened in the next verse. It made this young man sleepy. Verse 9 is my text verse tonight. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now you see a common theme in my messages. This morning we talked about a young man that died and was brought back to life by Elijah. And tonight we're going to talk about this young man that fell asleep in a church service, fell out of the window from the third story, and was taken up dead. I've always found a little bit of humor in people that fell asleep in church. I remember when I was a kid, we had a man by the name of Mr. Cullum. And he worked late on Saturday nights, and invariably on Sunday morning, he would fall asleep. Every Sunday morning. And my brother and I, we didn't do it every week, but every now and then we would crawl under the pews to where he was sitting and we would tie his shoes together as he was sleeping. And we had fun. Now, of course, we did it enough that he always checked them before he stood up, so he never fell. But it was fun. And then I was preaching up in Standish when I was going to college, and we met in a garage. And we had this one guy that on Sunday night, he would just fall asleep, and he would snore. And in the garage, it would sort of just echo. And I can remember this one Sunday night, there was a little four-year-old sitting in the front row, and there wasn't as much room between the pulpit. I mean, we were probably about that close. And he heard this snore echoing through the garage, and he just right out in the middle of the sermon, he says, "What's that? What's that?" I said, "That's what happens when you don't take a nap on Sunday afternoon. That's what that is." And then it's always funny to me to watch people that fall asleep that catch themselves. I mean, I can just watch them. Their head goes down to their chin goes down to their chest like this. Then they catch themselves and they sort of look around to see if anybody noticed. It's also kind of comical when the man goes to sleep and his wife goes like this in the ribs and wakes him up. And I always appreciate the people that try to be proactive. A couple weeks ago, I had one of our men tell me, he said, "Now, preacher, I'm having sinus problems. If you see me close my eyes, I'm just resting my eyes. I'm not asleep." And so I guess if you're going to go to sleep, I'd encourage you to be proactive and make up some kind of excuse like that. But tonight, I want to preach a sermon entitled "Setting in a Dangerous Place." This young man in this event that we read about was setting in a dangerous place. He was setting, they were meeting on the third story of this building, the third loft, and Paul was preaching long. He went to midnight, and this young man fell into a deep sleep, sunk down with sleep, and fell down three stories, taken up dead. In other words, when they went down to get him, they said, "Man, this guy is dead." Now, I'll tell you the rest of the story in just a minute. But I want you to notice something. The place that he was, and this is the basis of my message tonight, so I want you to listen real closely for the next couple seconds. The place where he was sitting in the window was not dangerous in itself. In fact, the window that night might have been the best seat in the house. I'm sure it was crowded. There was a lot of people. The lamps were burning. So it was probably hot and stuffy, and the fumes were coming off from those oil lamps. And in the window, I mean, you got the fresh air. In the window, at least on one side of you, there was nobody crowding you, nobody to rub elbows with. And the place that he was sitting in itself was not dangerous. I mean, it was three stories up. And it, you know, if Paul got a little boring in his sermon, the young man could look out the window and see the lights of the city and see, you know, the ships that they were passing by. Troas was a seaport. And again, the fact that he was three stories up, the fact that he was sitting in the window is not dangerous in itself. We know that he fell out of the window. And I'll point out to you tonight, the fall did not kill him. I mean, the fall, stay out of my preaching. Who said that? Don't get ahead of me. The fall did not kill him. I mean, people always wanted to fly. And I'm sure as he was flying through the air for those three stories, he was enjoying it if he was awake. But again, what killed the young man was not the fall, was not the place was where he was sitting. It was the sudden stop when he hit the ground. And what made this place a dangerous place to sit is where he fell to when he fell. Again, the window wasn't dangerous in itself. Probably the best seat in the house. But what made it a dangerous place to sit is where he fell to when he fell. Tonight, I want to mention three dangerous places to sit. And the point in all three of them is, sitting in that place may not be dangerous. What's dangerous is where you fall to when you fall from sitting in that place. The first place that I would submit for your attention tonight is the seat of the damned. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Anybody and everybody that has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior already sits in the seat of the damned. They've already been condemned. God has already judged them. They've been found guilty of being a sinner. That's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's why the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the sentence has already been handed out. The wages of sin is death. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God forever. And those that sit in the seat of the damned, one day will fall. And what makes sitting in the seat of the damned dangerous is not so much sitting in that seat, although I don't think anybody should sit there very long, but what makes it dangerous is where you fall to when you fall. Because when you fall from the seat of the damned, you fall right into hell. You fall right into that place that was not made for us, but that was made for Satan. You fall into that place of fire, of darkness, of the bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if you're sitting in the seat of the damned tonight, you might say, "Well, I'll get saved someday. Someday, I know the gospel. I know how to get saved. And someday, I'll receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." I want to tell you tonight, you don't know when you're going to fall out of that seat. That young man, when he went to sleep in the window, he had no idea he was going to fall out and fall three stories. You have no idea how long God's going to let you sit in the seat of the damned before you fall. And when you fall, what makes it a dangerous place is where you fall to, you fall into hell. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what I encourage you to do. Get out of that seat. Get out of it now. Jesus can save you now. He will save you now. He made it possible when he went to the cross and God took every one of our sins and laid them on him. The book of Isaiah says, he laid on him all of our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And one day, if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, Jesus is going to come into the courts of heaven as you stand before the Father. And he's going to say, "I died for every one of that person's, for every sin that person committed, I paid the price. It's under the blood. His name's in the book of life. It hasn't been blotted out. It's in the Lamb's book of life. and you'll be welcomed into heaven. So, dangerous place to set the seat of the damned. Again, not dangerous because you're there, but dangerous because where you fall to when you fall. You fall straight into Satan's hell. Second place I would point out to you tonight is a dangerous place to set is the seat of the world. The place that, for example, that we read about where Lot was setting. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot set in the gate of Sodom. The Bible tells us that Lot was a righteous man. Several places in the Bible, he's referred to as a righteous. He has a righteous soul. So in today's terminology, here was a Christian. He was sitting in the gate of the most wicked city on the face of the earth, the city of Sodom. He was sitting in a seat at the gate of a city that God was about to destroy. The Bible says, as he sat in that place, he vexed his righteous soul. Every day that he spent in that seat in the world, every day he sat in that seat with sinners, he vexed his righteous soul. God was about to destroy the city. He sent his angels to warn Lot. They said, Lot, you got to get out of here. You got to get your family out of here. God's seen the sin of this city. He's going to destroy it. And the Bible says that Lot went to his sons-in-laws, the men that were married to his daughters. And he shared this warning with them, and he tried to get them out of the city. And the Bible says he seemed as one that mocked. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe the warning that he brought. And so he took his wife and his two daughters, and the angels took him by the hand, led him out of the city. You know the story. His wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. And where did he fall to when he fell from the seat of the world? Where did he fall to? He fell into a place that no Christian should fall. He ended up living in a cave with his two daughters. And you know the story as well as I do. His daughters got him drunk. They committed acts of incest. He had incest. He had two sons by his daughters. If you would have went to Lot a few weeks before and say, Lot, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in your life. He would have said, no way. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. That's never going to happen to me. And yet because he set in the seat of the world, when he fell into things that no Christian would want to be a part of. Let me give you a New Testament example. Matthew chapter 26, Luke chapter 14. It records the story. Peter sat without in the palace, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. He sat in the seat of the world. He sat in a place that he shouldn't have been sitting. He sat with people that he shouldn't be sitting with. And they said to him, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? Not me. Oh no, we know. You're from Galilee. We can tell the way you talk. He said, oh no, not me. And a third person said, no, didn't we see you in the garden when we arrested Jesus? You're one of his disciples. You were with him. And the Bible says he swore and he cursed and he said, no, I do not know Jesus Christ. Now, if you talked to Peter a couple of days before and you said, Peter, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deny Christ. You're going to curse. You're going to tell people that you never even knew him. Peter would say, no, not me. Not me. No way. I'm willing to die for my Savior. If they take him to death, I'll go with him. But he sat in the seat of the world, and when he fell to a place that no Christian should fall. You listen to me. If you're sitting in the seat of the world tonight, you need to get up and move. You need to get up and find someplace else to sit. As we walk our Christian life, here's what too many Christians want to do. If this edge of the stage here represents the line between right and wrong, what we want to do is we want to get so close to the line. We don't want to get over here so far from the line. People think we're fanatics. People think we're crazy. People think we're in a cult. And so we try to stay as close to the line so we could be much like the world and not be so different. But what happens when we walk this path? What happens when we sit in this seat? If we fall, we're going to fall into the world. Hey, as Christians, we should get so far from the line of right and wrong that when we fall, we still fall into right. And when we fall, we still fall into right. Get out of the seat of the world. Because I'll tell you right now, when you fall, you're going to fall in places that you don't want to fall. I wish I could see the future. I wish I could tell those Christians that sat in the seat of the world, say, hey, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what you're going to do. And I'm sure they'd say the same thing that Lot would have said, that Peter was, not me. I love my Savior. I want to serve Him. I would never do anything like that. You go ahead and keep sitting in the seat of the world. It's a dangerous place to sit, because where you fall to when you fall. The third place that I would mention to you tonight is the seat of the scornful. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are those folks that find the bad in every situation. I mean, they can be in a situation where 98% of the situation is good and 2% of the situation is bad, and they'll concentrate on the 2%. They won't notice the 98%. They'll focus on the 2%. They always have something to say about everything, and it's always negative. They always find fault in others and quickly point them out. They are ungrateful. They are people that think that others have done them wrong in some way. They feel that they are getting cheated by life. And when you sit in the seat of the scornful, you run the risk of falling into something that's more terrible. You run the risk of falling into a place that no Christian should ever be in. You run the risk of falling into bitterness. Bitterness. A bitter person is a grumpy, crotchety, unhappy, always complaining, a person that nobody wants to be around. Bitterness will rob you of your joy. Bitter people say, so-and-so did this to me, and I am like this because of what other people have done to me. No, you are not. You are like that because you sat in the seat of the scornful, and when you fell into bitterness. And so tonight, if you are sitting in the seat of the scornful, I say to you, get up, move, find a different seat. If you get into a situation where there's 50% bad and 50% good, concentrate on the good. Look for the good. Look for the positive. Get out of the seat of the scornful. Don't say anything about anybody unless it's good. You say, preacher, there's a lot of bad in that person. Well, that's fine. There's also good in that person. Look for the good and talk about the good. Be thankful. Be thankful for the smallest things that God has put into your life. Express your thanks. Thank Him for everything good that He has done for you. Now, I will tell you tonight, the story of this young man has a happy ending, just like the story did this morning. The story this morning, we didn't talk about the ending, but this morning, Elijah went back to his room. That young man was laid down on his bed, and the Bible says that he raised him from the dead, gave his mother back her son. Tonight, the end of the story is that Paul went and embraced this young man. I don't know if he was dead or they just thought he was dead. Doesn't make any difference. Paul brought him back and said, he's not dead. He is alive. And so I would tell you tonight, I take from those two stories, there's still hope. There's still hope. If you're sitting in the seat of the damned tonight, you can get up, you can come to Jesus Christ, and you can get out of that seat. If you're sitting in the seat of the world tonight, there is hope. You can get up. You can find a new seat. Move as far away from the world as you can. It doesn't matter if people call you fanatic. It doesn't matter if people think you're crazy. I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than anything else. It don't matter. And if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful tonight, don't blame God for that. You're that way because you want to be that way. Get up! Find a different seat. Don't fall into bitterness. It's a terrible place for a Christian to be. How's your ending going to come out? Where are you sitting tonight? If you're sitting in any of these places, it may be okay, except where you fall, when you fall. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray tonight that nobody here is sitting in any of these seats. I pray tonight, Father, that nobody's sitting in the seat of the damned, but there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to see that they're a sinner. Help them to see that Jesus paid the price for every sin. Help them to see the great love that He has toward them. Help them to come tonight and ask Jesus to be their Savior. If we're sitting in the seat of the world tonight, Father, help us understand that the world is no place for us. When we fall, we're going to fall into things that we just can't imagine. There's no way we'd want to fall into. Help us to get up and move away from the world. And if we're sitting in the seat of the scornful tonight, Father, help us just decide tonight, we're not going to sit there anymore. We're going to get up. We're going to find the blessedness that the psalm talks about. Blessed is the man that setteth not in the seat of the scornful. Help us to move. I pray, Father, that you just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something that we need to do tonight, help us to be obedient and do it. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.